Good morning and welcome to the presence, everyone. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, put those hands together and give God some praise. Hallelujah. We're in the Christmas season. How many of you have finished your Christmas shopping already? Ready to go. Well, welcome to those of you in house, those of you watching live stream or on our Facebook page. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Are you ready to praise the Lord this morning? Amen. Come on, stand on your feet. Do some Christmas songs this morning. Yeah. Come on, let's say joy to the world. Come on, say
joy to the world. The Lord.
Thank you.
let's sing that again. Angels we have heard on high. Come on, say it.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing all the praise. And the mountains in the ground, echoing their joyous
the second verse. Sing the choirs of angels.
For he alone is worthy.
give him all the glory.
A whirlwind trip of eight different states, three different time zones, in around 8 days or a week or so. And man, was I glad to get home. I'm gonna tell you this too. I'm glad to be in the Father's house this morning. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. It feels really good to be in the Father's house this morning. And you know, there's something. We have such a wonderful Heavenly Father, don't we? And in this season of giving, we have a Heavenly Father that loves to give, don't he? He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible tells us that it's his good pleasure to give to us the kingdom.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. God, our Father, is the most giving being in the whole cosmos, in the whole universe. Yes. And he's our Father. We're in his house this morning. And it's his good pleasure to give it to us. Wonderful gifts. Praise the Lord. Lord, we give you the praise this morning. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just adore you this morning. We thank you for all the wonderful things that you've done for us this whole year, Lord. We're coming to the end of the year, and it's been a wonderful year, Lord. God, you've provided, you've blessed us. God, you've kept us. Lord, we give you the glory and honor this morning. God, we ask you that you just continue to move in this service this morning. Lord, we can feel the Holy Spirit moving here. God, I pray that you would just accomplish the work this morning, Lord. Yes. God, I pray for Pastor as he brings the word, Lord, that there be a special anointing this morning, God. Lord, anoint his lips of clay, Lord, to speak as the oracles of God, Lord. Lord, I pray that the word that goes forth with power and anointing, and it accomplishes everything that you set forth to accomplish, Lord. Lord, I pray that our ears would be anointed to hear, that our minds would be anointed to receive and understand, and our hearts, God, to put it deep down and make it applicable to us, Lord. God, I pray that you just continue to do your work here this morning, God. We give you glory, Lord. We give you praise. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. Oh, I praise you this morning, Lord. The family of God, we praise you this morning, Lord. We give you honor, Jesus. And we ask all these things in your name, Lord. Amen.
Now, if you really give them praise, give them praise. Come on, give them a good praise this morning. God has been good to us. Not just today, but all year long. He's been good. He's been faithful. So it is a privilege to be in the house. house of the Lord today. Amen. Hallelujah. I know that we just did the service for Alvin's aunt yesterday. And she, you know, was just a powerhouse for God. Loved to pray. Loved to just encourage people in the Lord. But her day came. And the Lord called her home. Everyone has a day. Everybody has a day. Will you be ready? Are you ready? We have to be ready. We have to stay ready. So every day that you get up in the morning and you're able to get out of the bed and you're able to breathe in and exhale, you ought to give God a sincere praise, a sincere thanks, because no day is promised. So one more time, let's give God a good hand praise this morning. Thank Him for His faithfulness to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's do our affirmation prayer. Everyone together. Father, I thank You that as I delight myself in You, You will give me the desires of my heart, because You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek You. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through You who strengthens me. And I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree according to 3 John 2 that in every area of my life I am prospering and I am in good health. Even as my soul prospers, I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore now let it please Thee to bless the house of Thy servant, that it may continue forever before Thee. For Thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with Thy blessing let the house of Thy servant be blessed forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Good morning. So good to have everyone here this morning, and I have to second the motion. It is so good to be here in Oklahoma. I didn't have a whirlwind trip like our brother was talking about, but I'm telling you what, we were in Wichita, Kansas, just Thursday and got home late last night, Friday, Saturday, and it is so cold. I thought it was cold here. But I was at the top of my prayer list this morning. I was already praying for warmer weather, so I'm counting down. I only got 2 more trips. I have to go to Kansas, and I'm done. But it is so good to be here in this warm house with you guys this morning. Thank you for getting out during these winter seasons and joining us in prayer, worship, the Word. And everyone online, we just welcome you this morning. Is there anyone here? It's first time? Didn't quite scan. I think it's all friends, family. If you're online with us for the first time, a special welcome to you. And as always, we want to take a moment and just greet your brother and sister next to you. Let's actually get up and move around and do that. If you have your spouse, maybe you can sing them, "Baby, It's Cold Outside." I don't know. Get up and give 2 or 3 people a hug. Our online attenders, find someone next to you if you got someone next to you. This gentleman is a first-time guest. Please make sure you shake his hand if you're on this side. We always like to acknowledge. We appreciate you being here this morning. I apologize for missing you. All right, so we are going to, at this time, we're going to let our children stand and make their way back. I'll be honest this morning. My children are all at home. They're skipping a little bit because they're watching the last game of World Cup, because Argentina plays. And, you know, Ariana and I went to Argentina, so they're doing a game day. They'll watch service later. But I'll just call them out. But all right. Well, we love you guys. Thank you so much again for being here. And will you help me give a warm welcome to Pastor Alvin Frege as he comes this morning?
Thank you.
This is my wife's microphone. I don't need to wipe this one off. We got the same germs anyway. So. Well, welcome. And Mr. Channing over there, he said he didn't raise his hand. He didn't want to. That's why. You didn't see him, Rita. But thank you for being here with us today. Well, this is the day the Lord has made. Are you rejoicing? Are you glad? Hallelujah. Well, I am too. Ms. Sanola mentioned my aunt of 90 years passed away last week, and we were there at her home going yesterday in Louisville, Texas. And so we drove down there and had a little service and saw some cousins that I hadn't seen for years. And my auntie Mary Boswell, she would call me probably almost every month. And I mentioned that yesterday in the service, homegoing service, that whenever she called, I always, it didn't matter where I was, I always took her call. Because at 90 years old, you just never know when it's going to be the last one. And sure enough, the last call that I received from her, that was the last one. And but she was just a fireball, woman of God, and she would tell you like it is. Like it is. We need more people like that that just tell you like it is. But in love. Yeah, in love. In love. But thank God. Thank God for life. Thank God for eternity. If you know, those who are in Christ, we don't, you know, this physical body may die, but our spirits live on. And so it's a good thing, and so we thank God for that. But I want to just, there's some really great opportunities that we have for community and also just for family here this coming weekend. You'll know that Christmas is on Sunday, and we are having church on that day. So here's how the weekend is going to look. We're having a Christmas concert, on both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Christmas Eve, the 24th, will be that Saturday at 7 p.m., and then Christmas Sunday at 10 a.m. We encourage you to invite guests, and it'll be on social media. There's banners out there. There's we have a billboard out on the 169, and we'll probably do something with a couple other platforms here locally, Wassoisms and things of that nature. But we want you to invite, and it's going to be an awesome concert. Let me just tell you, our band and singers, we've got extra singers that y'all haven't even seen yet. It's going to be good. You don't want to miss it. We've got some other elements, some dance and some spoken word, and some our children are going to do some things, and so it's going to be awesome. So please mark your calendar for December, this coming Saturday, December 24th at 7 p.m. And then we'll do it again Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Then, this is kind of one of those years where all the holiday days are on a Sunday. So our New Year's is on January the 1st, which is a Sunday, and we are having service on January 1st. And no, we're not doing it later. At 12 noon or something like that. It'll be at 10 a.m., but it's going to be an awesome service. And here's what I told our staff and our people. I want everybody who comes that day on January. First of all, it's going to be an incredible service. And we're going to have some things that are going to take place. I mean, because how often do you have a New Year's on a Sunday? So we're going to really do it up. And everybody who comes is going to receive something. They're going to get something. Children are going to, we're going to do goodie bags for them. The youth are going to get something. The adults, everybody's going to go away with something. And so it's going to be a time of fellowship, a time of giving. We're going to have service, obviously, but just mark your calendars for that first Sunday in January, January the 1st. And so we look forward to that. Well, all right. Y'all ready for the word of the Lord? You ready for some word? All right. I love this time of the year. And always in December, I just sort of gear all of the messages toward the birth of Christ, because that's Y'all know that's what we're celebrating. That's what this season is about, right? Jesus is the reason for the... There is no Christmas without Christ. And so I know that since we're doing the concert next Sunday, I want to just sort of share some things in regards to the birth of Christ. Would you turn with me to Luke, the second chapter? Turn with me to Luke, the second chapter. And raise your Bible up or your phone, whatever you have that has your Bible, your Word. Or if you have it so much hidden in your heart that you got it all in you. You can just stand up. Just say this: I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Come on, say it again. I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Father, thank you for your Word today. Thank you for the awesome gift of your Son, Jesus. And we're just so in love with you. We didn't deserve it, but you gave to us. And you did it in the most awesome way. So we thank you this morning. Speak to our hearts and help us to gain something even more from this awesome, awesome story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read for you. The entire, not the entire chapter, but I want us to sort of take this in. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 20. Okay? The Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. In that time, that was referring to the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Would you look at somebody and say, "Don't be afraid"? "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy." King James says, "Good tidings, good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Would you look at that person again and say, "He was born for you. He's born for you." "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Look at the person next to you and say, "Glory." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. I want to use this morning as a little thought. What an incredible story. Would you find, look at somebody and just say, what an incredible story. What, I just, listen, this is to me, it's just an incredible story. The Christmas story is a perfect example of let me just read this verse because I want to tie this in. Romans 8:28 says this. And we know that God causes all things to do what? To work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God causes all things to work together. And that verse just came to mind as I was reading the Christmas story, and as I was studying, I was trying to figure out, you know, how to shorten this, you know, what I was going to read. And the Lord just kind of pressed on me, look, just read the whole thing. We need to hear the story. Every Christmas as a little boy, when on Christmas Day, me and my three siblings, we'd get up in anticipation of opening gifts, you know, and we knew what Christmas meant, but it didn't matter what we thought we knew. Every Christmas morning, my dad, Willie Frugier Sr., and Mom would sit us down around the Christmas tree, and my dad would read the Christmas story. Because they wanted to make sure that we fully understood that it wasn't about the gifts that we were going to receive that were wrapped under the tree. It was about the one gift that God sent. And so I love this. I love the Christmas story. And to me, the Christmas story is a perfect example of God causing all things to work together for good. I mean, that's why they call it the good news. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, God worked that thing out. Think about the Christmas story, the plot, the interwoven plot with all the intricate, the moving pieces and the characters. And it was just, I mean, God orchestrated his will in such an incredible way with pinpoint attention to detail, all to set you free, all to set us free from the bondage of sin. He planned it out. Every intricate detail. In reality, the Christmas story really began in the book of Isaiah some 700 years before Jesus' birth. The prophet Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a Christ child in Bethlehem. And that 700 years prior to Jesus' birth was fulfilled. Other prophets like Micah and Zechariah also prophesied about the birth of Christ. The Old Testament gives us many foreshadowings, if you will, of our coming Savior. Think about this. God's birthing of the world in Genesis is an overture in the symphony of the birth of Christ. Think about this. In Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, darkness covered the earth. And God said, what? Let there be light. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning of the New Testament, God sent the true light into the world that was filled with darkness. Only two times in the entire Bible do we see the phrase in the beginning. The first time is in Genesis 1 and 1, and the second time is in John 1 and 1, where John says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Then in verse 14, John says, and the Word became flesh. That's the Christmas story right there. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his what? Glory. Remember we just read in Luke, the second chapter. The angels came and said, glory to God in the highest. We beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here are some other parallels. In Exodus, the children of Israel were sustained. God gave them. They were sustained by manna from heaven. In the New Testament, God sent Jesus, the bread of life. In Exodus, God gave the children of Israel water from a rock. In the New Testament, God sent the rock of ages from whom we can draw living water and never thirst again. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." But in Jesus' coming, he flipped it. In the New Testament, Philippians 2:8 says that Jesus was made in the likeness of man. In Genesis, we have the first Adam. In the New Testament, we have the last Adam. We do have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but there are only two Gospels that mention the birth of Christ. That's Matthew and Luke. And when you sort of mesh those two stories together chronologically in the events that happened in both of those chapters, how they were portrayed. When you mesh those two accounts together, we can easily see just how meticulous God was in delivering his only begotten son to the world. First, the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias and tells him his wife Elizabeth, who is Mary's cousin, is going to bring forth John the Baptist. Then the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. Now we, as a matter of fact, turn to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew real quick. Matthew, the second chapter. Now let's read the first chapter, verse 18. Let's read this, and we'll go back to Luke. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows: when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name." And now it doesn't say here who the angel was, but I put my money on Gabriel. He was a busy angel, right, during that time. Now go back to Luke. The first chapter. Luke, the first chapter. Look at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, there he is, was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favorite one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." How many of you thank God for favor? "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." Listen, let me just say this to you, that whatever God has called you to do, whatever you sense in your heart and your spirit that God has called you to do, you cannot do it unless the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's going to take the Holy Spirit coming upon you, empowering you, enveloping you, saturating you. That's really what the angel Gabriel was saying to Mary. You can't do this on your own. It's going to take the Holy Spirit coming upon you. That's one of my prayers that I pray almost daily. Holy Spirit, come upon me. Because I know that whatever it is he's calling me to do, whether it's pastoring, whatever, music, books, whatever he is calling me to do to accomplish the rest of this year or into 2023. It's going to take the Holy Spirit. So the angel appears, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. An angel appears to Joseph just to kind of calm him and let him know, look, it's okay. I know it's not how things, you know, go in culture right now, but the Holy Spirit's going to come over your fiance, and she's going to bring forth a child. Then an angel, then Mary visits Elizabeth. Mary visits Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth sees Mary, Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. The Bible says that, I won't take you to it, but the Bible says that the baby would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so then when Mary showed up to Elizabeth, the Bible also says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Joseph and Mary then go to Bethlehem to register for the census. We read that. Now, the night Jesus was born, there were some shepherds watching their flock of sheep at night, and one angel appeared to them. Doesn't say what angel it was, but I'm thinking Gabriel. Then a host of angels appeared with that one angel, and they all started praising God together. The shepherds say, you know what, let's go on to Bethlehem. So they hightail it to the manger in Bethlehem and see exactly what the angel said they would see. So you've got Gabriel going to Zacharias. You've got his wife Elizabeth, who's Mary's cousin. She's pregnant. Mary's pregnant. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary. The angel appears to Joseph and lets him know, hey, it's all good. Mary visits Elizabeth. The baby's jumping in the womb. People being filled with the Holy Ghost. Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem, register for the sentence. God census. God uses that just to get them to Bethlehem. The night Jesus was born, you got shepherds. You got angels singing and the heavens and the host of angels singing. You got shepherds running to Bethlehem to see this beautiful sight of this newborn baby. And God worked all this out so that you could receive salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. You get a Savior. You get a Savior. You get a Savior. Everybody gets a Savior. All of these acts or movements in the Christmas story worked in perfect concert together in order to bring us redemption. The Christmas story, what an incredible story. The Christmas story is a great reminder to us that God is still working things out for our good. Here's the point. You can always look back at the Christmas story and be reminded of how God works things out. You can draw faith and assurance from the Christmas story, knowing that if he did it back then, he can still do it now. If he worked it out for me back then, because you know he did work it out for you, it was for you. He worked that out for you. If he worked it out for you back then, he'll work it out for you today. Come on, look at somebody and say, what an incredible story. What an incredible story. So now I want to draw your attention to Luke 1 and 28 briefly. I want to encourage you with this. Because God is working things out for your good. And the Christmas story is a way for us to draw from that encouragement. Luke 1:28 says, I'm going to read it in the King James Version. And the angel came in unto her, Mary, and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. In that one verse are three precious promises that I want you to grab hold to this morning. Number one, you are favored. You are favored. Would you look at somebody and say, you are favored? Come on, encourage them. Say, you are favored. You are favored. You are favored. Sister Cassandra, you are favored. You are favored. You are favored. Mary didn't feel favored at the time. Who, me? How can this be? Who? Which means this. Being favored has nothing to do with how you feel. But if you are willing to attach your faith to God's favor, God will do incredible things with you and through you. Mary didn't feel favored, but she was still favored. And that was the first thing that the angel said to her. Hail, thou art highly favored. God sent his son into the world to favor us. To favor us. Favor refers to the grace of God or the empowerment of God, the ability of God, the way that God works things out for our good. He is our way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who he is, right? And so when we talk about favor, it doesn't matter how it comes. God can send favor through anybody or through in any type of situation. But you need to look for the favor of God. Because you are favored. You are favored. The favor of God also speaks of the anointing upon your life. That's the favor of God. The anointing on your life. What you know, it's people don't know what to call it. People don't really know what it is, but it's just something about you. You know, it's that something about you. That's the favor of God on your life. So interesting. We were in Oklahoma City, Edmond, Oklahoma, and some good friends of ours. Before we drove down to Texas, we went to Randy and Chandra Hamilton. I used to go to Higher D, and invited us to come and spend a couple of days with them. And so we did. We went to this restaurant. What night was that, sweetheart? Friday night? Was it Friday night? We went to a restaurant Friday night. So it's a nice restaurant. It's like on a lake. Couldn't really see it because it was dark. We walk into the restaurant, and they seat us sort of near. I guess they had a bar area, but then they had seating around it, and we were sitting in there. But there was this beautiful black baby grand piano sitting right there, and nobody was playing it. And they had the music, they had some music going on, you know, but that piano just kept looking at me. Just, I couldn't hardly look at the menu. I mean, it was just like, and it was sort of like talking to me, saying, come play me. And so I started talking to Sonola and Randy and Chandra. I was like, man, that piano over there is calling me. And they're like, go play it. I'm like, no, I ain't going to go play it. I ain't going to just hop up there. So I just kind of looked around, and I could tell who, you know, when you go into a restaurant, you can tell who the manager is, whatever. So I saw this one lady, and I said, excuse me. And I said, do you usually have anybody that, you know, that plays that piano? She said, well, we're going to start here in a little bit, but we hadn't recently. And matter of fact, we don't even know how in tune it is, you know. I said, I could probably, you know, I could probably check it out for you, you know. And she said, do you play? I said, well, I play a little bit. And I said, you don't know me. I said, but, you know, I, I'm sure you'll be happy with you know what I do. And she says, well, let me go talk to the general manager, you know, the head guy. And next thing you know, some guy came and he said, so I understand you play the piano. And I said, well, you know, a little bit. And he said, well, I actually need somebody to check it out for me just to see what needs to, you know, what needs to be fixed or whatever. I said, you know what, I tell you what, if you can turn this music down, I'll go over there and I'll play a little bit, you know. And he said, okay. So we ordered, and then I went, sat at the piano, and there were people all, you know, just sitting at the bar, and there were people, and so I just started playing Joy to the World, you know, and a little bit of that. And so I played for about, just kind of did that for about 5 minutes or so, and then I just, you know, then I did Angels We Have Heard on High or something like that, and I, you know, just kind of finish it out. Ding, you know, just finish it. Next thing you know, the whole area, you know, was clapping, right? And so I just played for another maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes or whatever. So when we got... Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. No, here's the thing. And they had this big, huge, and it was huge, big glass, you know, set up on the piano for people to tip. And you better know they started bringing money and put it in there. I was like, all right. Probably wasn't there more than probably 15, 20 minutes because the food came and I went and I got up and went to the seat and people were just, oh, that was so beautiful. And I the lady came afterwards. I said, would you do me a favor? I said, because I didn't want to be trying to pull money out of this big old glass, because you kind of go get that, because they said I could have it and gave it to Sonola at like $76. I'm like, okay, that's not bad. Not bad. 20. Yeah. Here's the point. Afterwards, this lady came up, older lady, Caucasian lady, rings and jewelry, and it wasn't costume. And she says, oh, I was so blessed. So blessed. She didn't say, that piano with that piano playing, woo, that was so wonderful. No, she said, I was so blessed. Let me just tell you something. You bless people because of the favor of God on your life. Listen, Sonoma will tell you, whenever we go on a cruise, I do karaoke, I do talent contests, not because I think I'm all that, but because it's an opportunity to kind of spread the favor, to spread the anointing. You have the opportunity, not just during the Christmas season, you have the opportunity to use the favor of God, the favor that God has given you, to spread that and to share that wherever you go. You have to be aware. You have to understand that God is looking for you just like he was looking for the shepherds. That's why he went to the shepherds. It wasn't just to tell them. He was because he knew that the shepherds would go and tell others. God is looking for us to go tell somebody, to go share with somebody, to go be the light and the salt, and to spread the favor of God that he has given us, and to use that to share. So you may not feel like it. You may not always feel like it, like Mary didn't feel like it, but the favor of God is upon you, not just to bless you, but to bless others. Look at somebody and say, use the favor of God for his glory. So he said to him, the angel said to Mary, thou art highly favored. Come on, everybody say, I am favored. Then he said, the Lord is with you. So that's promise number two. The Lord is with you. Promise number one is you are favored. Promise number two, the Lord is with you. Now, if that doesn't get you going, the fact that you're not on your own, the fact that you're not doing everything by yourself, the Lord is with you. You are favored and the Lord is with you. That ought to get you excited. Whatever it is God has called you to do, whatever it is God has called you to accomplish the rest of this year and into 2023, you are favored and God is with you. Moses, I could take you back to Moses, like the 32nd chapter, and Moses said to God, God, listen, we're not going anywhere unless you go with us. We can't listen. The only way that the world is going to know that we are favored is if you go with us. Moses would not leave the camp until God proved to him, or God said to him that he would go with them. Listen, don't you go anywhere. Don't you do anything without God. The minute you think you got it all together is the minute it's going to fall, you know, all into a mess and crumble. You must know that God is with you. They used to say years back in the day, take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. Take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. Take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. Take the Lord along with you every. Then they say, you're going to need him. You're going to need him everywhere you. You're going to need him. You're going to need him. You're going to need him everywhere you go. So you are favored. God is, the Lord is with you. Come on, would you, I know I keep telling you to tell people, but it's a way of encouraging. Encourage somebody right now and say, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The enemy wants you to feel like you're on your own, by yourself, and that you have no help. But the fact that the Lord is with you, that's your help. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help cometh from the Lord. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And then the next thing the angel said, blessed art thou among women. Here's promise number three. You are blessed. Look at somebody and tell them, you are blessed. You are blessed. Listen, you may not have everything that you need, but you are blessed. You might need a new car, but you are blessed. Hallelujah. You might need a new job, but you are blessed. Come on, look at somebody one more time and say, you are blessed. You need to grab hold of that. Come on now, say, I am blessed. I am blessed. Hallelujah. I am blessed. I am blessed. I decree it in the name of the Lord. What you decree, God will make it happen. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I am favored. I am. The Lord is with me. And I am blessed. Come on, say it again. I am favored. The Lord is with me. And I am blessed. I tell you, if you will grab hold to those three promises and really take them in and apply them to your life in every situation, and the best time to say that is when you're going through a difficult time, when something happens and you get a phone call or something is going on with your job or whatever, you just stop right there and say, oh, I am favored, the Lord is with me, and I am blessed. And then just start quoting scriptures. Just, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just begin to speak the word of God. Come on, say it one more time. I am favored. The Lord is with me. And I am blessed. The birth of Christ is an incredible story. An incredible story. But this story has not ended. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the continuation of this incredible story. We continue the story with the favor that God has given us and the fact that He is with us. And the fact that we know that we are blessed in the city, in the field, we can now go out and continue the story. God is causing all things to work together for your good. He's orchestrating every minute detail. And let me just say right here, you're not going to always understand why He's doing certain things or why not or whatever. You're not going to understand it. But just flow with it. Just flow with Him. I've told this story many times, but Sonola told me when they were little, Dad would get everybody and put everybody in the car and just start driving. And kids would say, you know, where are we going? And he would just say two words, just right. Just right. That's how we have to be with the Father. You're not going to understand every turn, every street. You're not going to understand why he's, you know, taking you up 169 and telling you to get off on Highway 20 and take that all the way to, you know, to Claremore. You're not going to understand. But I don't want to go to Claremore. But God needs you to go to Claremore. So you got to just ride and let him take you where you need to trust him. You need to trust him. Because he knows all the minute details. And he's working everything out, all the minute details, in order for the light of Christ to shine bright in your life. Now that is an incredible story. You are the continuation of this incredible story. Be the light. Be the salt. Let the favor of God permeate your body. Know that God is with you. Know that you are blessed. And when you know that, when you're able to take that in, when you're able to apply that to your life, the Christmas story, the blessing of the Christmas story, when you're able to take that in, then you can truly have a Merry Christmas. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. What an incredible story. What an incredible God you are. We are so thankful. We're so joyful at the blessing, the miracle of this season. But when we really think about it, we're all miracles. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, you watch over us. You care for us. You're the good, good Father. So we have joy in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, for those who might be struggling a little bit during this season, that you would give them joy unspeakable and full of glory, that they would truly know that they are favored, that you are with them, and they are blessed. Encourage their hearts. May they know that your favor doesn't depend on how they feel. They have to just receive it by faith. So God, help us to receive it by faith. Help us to receive this word by faith. That you worked everything out to bring your son here. And you're going to continue to work everything out to bring us to our destiny and the fulfillment of our purpose. So bless each one under the sound of my voice. And I pray, Lord, that they truly would have a Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give God praise one more time? Hallelujah. 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 Well, let's prepare our hearts to give to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. We had a board meeting. We have one monthly, and in every board meeting we just get a sort of an overview of our financial situation as a church. And I will just tell you that God is faithful. He's been faithful. I was sharing our testimony of how our giving increased during the pandemic, and you know, we've had some, you know, a few weeks where we didn't quite meet our budget mark, but overall, for the year of 2022, we're doing great. We're above what we projected, and able to pay our bills on time, able to give. I'm telling you, give to ministries both here, home, and foreign. And so God has been faithful. And so as you give today, just know that your seed is going into awesome ground. And want to remind you of our new Presence Home capital campaign, because y'all know we're moving from here. Amen. Amen. Y'all, do y'all know where we're going? What? Y'all, listen. I know many of you are praying and believing and even going by the Bethel property. You know, just be careful. Don't, you know, if people are there, don't be, you know, getting out the car and stuff. But the pastor and the leadership there knows that we're believing God and we're in talks and we'll share more here. If I were you, I don't know if that we've mentioned this at all, but on the January the 21st, we're going to have a State of the Church breakfast, and we're going to share some things in there that will pertain to Bethel and some other areas in our church. And so, but I just encourage you to continue to pray with us, and we're believing God, and we're speaking it into existence in the name of the Lord, and we're praying that while we're here, that God will fill every seat. I don't know about you, but I want every seat filled. Those of you who are watching, thank you for watching. But come on into the house if you're able to. Come on into the house and let's worship under the same roof for these hour and a half or so. So as you give, know that it's going into good seed. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the presence in Owosso. Thank you that the seed that leaves our hand never leaves our life, but it goes into our future and it multiplies. Thank you, Lord, that we're blessed to be a blessing. Come on, say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Say it again, I'm blessed to be a blessing. So, God, we give this morning with cheerful hearts, knowing that we'll see it again in greater measure. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give with cheerful hearts this morning. All right. So remember, this coming weekend, Saturday night, 7 p.m., Christmas concert, and then Sunday morning, Christmas Sunday, at 10 a.m., Christmas concert. And I pray you have an awesome, awesome week, and whatever you have planned for the Christmas holiday, I pray that you just truly enjoy it and have a good time with your family. All right, let's stand. Hallelujah. Would you lift those hands toward heaven? I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1 and 11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. Remember, you are the incredible story. God bless. Testing, 1, 2. If I can have a few of the men, if you can just help us, there's a few things we